All right, I gave you the hard facts and circumstances piece, and now I'm at least going to get closer to something where we can actually give, you know, guides on, all right, this is the rule. Closer, but not exactly there. So Ed mentioned one of the exceptions is royalty payments are generally excluded from unrelated business taxable income. All right, so royalty, though, is not defined anywhere in the code or regulations. There's a giant body of law in terms of revenue rulings and court cases that give it. So we're getting closer. But basically, it is a payment for the right to use some sort of intellectual property. So we're familiar with that in the context of copyrights and patents and trademarks and things like that. But it can often be any sort of know-how that the exempt organization has or data that the exempt organization has gathered in the course of its activities. So it can be something as fancy as biobanks that are stored at health systems and universities, or it can be as simple as your list of donors. All of those can be IP that then you enter into a contract with a for-profit to, they get access to the IP, they may go out and make money from it, and they will pay you an amount of money in return. A royalty is definitely not a payment for services, and that is that key distinction. So the EO should not be providing services to the entity it is licensing the IP to without very clearly delineating what payment is for the IP and what payment is for the services. The services will likely be UBI. The payment for the IP likely is not. But it can even be better if you can separate those entirely or just don't do it.
And by separate entirely, do you mean put them in separate agreements?
I mean, in my wishful thinking version, it's separate agreements or in an appendix or something that's severable or with different terms or things like that. But often it's in the same thing, just in different sections. The EO, if you are licensing out your IP or your mailing list or whatever else, you will likely want to have some sort of involvement in what the for-profit is doing, though, because you are trying to protect your donors, trying to protect your own brand and reputation. And you can have some involvement in that, so long as, again, in the agreement, we're very clearly spelling out that the reason the EO is looking at the advertising materials or participating in development is specifically to do that sort of protection of the IP and preserve the value, not to engage in how to best reach out to people or how to maximize the revenue or how to maximize the return the for-profit can gain from that IP that you have just licensed to them. Any further comments on that?
I don't think so.
So we do have a couple of cautionary tales in here. One is a court case from a few years ago, New Jersey Council of Teaching Hospitals versus Commissioner. This was a long, long saga, and it's very complicated, but in part it boils down to the wording in the agreement. I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but it all comes back to that. And this, you know, kind of looked like, in theory, it looked like a royalty. It looked like information that the council was providing to the for-profit. It was sort of a group purchasing arrangement. But the arrangement didn't specifically talk about IP, and the payments that came to the EO were termed commissions. And if we see that, that is sort of, you're inherently presuming that a commission is for participating in sales rather than for licensing of IP, and it's really hard to move beyond that. I mean, it's not impossible, but that's going to be the default, and you're already starting behind if an IRS agent is looking at that issue. Similar story, TAM, that relatively more recently came out, technical advice memorandum. There was an agreement where the EO was hosting a job placement board, and there were fees paid for that job placement board. The EO had essentially outsourced a lot of that operation to a for-profit entity, and the for-profit was running things, and the EO tried to say, all right, that's really revenue to the for-profit, and what we're getting is just royalties. The leftover comes back to us. That's a royalty payment. And the IRS said, no, it's not. We look at this agreement, and the for-profit is termed as the service provider. The hosting was all done on the exempt organization's website. The EO was the one that had control over the pricing and advertising. It had the operating costs. And it just looked like a service agreement, even though substantively the for-profit was the one doing a lot of the activity.
How might have they avoided this?
So one of the ways to do this would be to have that separate site hosted somewhere different. And then I often get this question of how many clicks is too far, how many clicks removed of the EO's website is enough? And it's not sort of number of clicks, but it's more how the EO is doing this and whether they are endorsing or suggesting the services that are being provided by the other organization.